Church, I offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially our visitors. And if you are a visitor this morning, we have a welcome packet of information for you. You can get them immediately outside the doors in the narthex hanging on the shepherd's crook, or you can ask any of our ushers for information. As a reminder, please sign the registration sheet that you'll find in your red folder located at the end of each pew. Sign it and then pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. If you have a prayer request, please complete the 3x5 index card that you will find in that red holder and place it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward this morning. I would like to highlight a few announcements. But before announcements, I offer the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to all. All right, now it's time for announcements as you make your way back to your seat. First, I would like to introduce Diane, and she has a few announcements. Diane Runser.
First of all, you'll see the announcement about the picnic in the bulletin. I just want to confirm to everyone, if you did not sign up in one of these past weeks, it doesn't matter. Come anyway. We'd like to see as many people there as possible. It's at Oak Hollow Park, and as I said, all the information is in the bulletin. We ask two things, though, that has not been stressed in the last couple weeks. One, so that we don't have to come back here to the church, the planning committee, whatever you're bringing, bring your serving utensils, so that we don't have to wash things up and bring them back here. Secondly, all we are planning on drink is bottled water, because that's what most everybody drank last year. If you want something other than that with your meal, feel free to bring some for yourself or some to share with others. We'd greatly appreciate that. But we'd like to see everybody there. It's going to be a fun time. Secondly, now, it's my honor to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning. This is my daughter, Heather Runser. She hasn't been here in a long time. She graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in 2014 with a Master of Divinity, and she's currently serving in ministry in the East Ohio Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, so we hope you'll make her feel welcome. This is home.
Okay, Fritz, that's enough. But no, in all seriousness, welcome. And as just a few other quick announcements, the Pastor Bruce is presently looking for people that are interested in joining a newly formed visitation team, and there are some specific details in the bulletin. And certainly if you have any questions or if you have any interest, please see Pastor Bruce next Sunday. Also next week is Back to School Backpack Sunday. That's always a fun time here in our church. The pastor will bless the backpacks for those children and adults returning to school, asking God's guidance for a great school year. And just one announcement I would like you to pay a little attention to. It's from the trustees, mainly an announcement from the office, and that's with regard to something that happened in the church within the last week. And I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir, even though there's no choir here. It's you all. And I don't think that any one of you are guilty of this, but if you are, I wanted to bring your attention to it, or if you know outside groups that use this. Someone was messing with, pardon the expression, the circuit breaker on the stage that had black tape over it and additional plastic. So they intentionally were flicking the breaker box, and what that resulted in is not flickering lights, but in fact no power to the food bank, and we lost hundreds and hundreds of dollars of food bank food. Everything, the refrigerator, by the time the staff here became aware that there was a rancid smell in the basement, it was too late. And literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So, you know, just as a reminder, certainly, you know, you hope you don't have to put big padlocks on things. We would have hoped that tape over a breaker and then additional tape would have kept folks out. So kind of pass the word, or if you're in the church and you see a group in here, let's protect our church and all those little intricacies that go on, because it was very unfortunate. So with that note, I would ask that you do check your bulletin for some other announcements, and we will continue with our worship service. I would now ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Long ago, a vineyard was planted, the ground was prepared, and all was made ready. What happened in that place of promise? Let us again turn to the Lord, who will again plant, prune, and cause us to grow in faithfulness. Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer as printed in your bulletin. Lord of light and life, you have called us this day to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, to hear your words of encouragement, healing, and hope. Give us patience and willingness to serve you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 529, in your red hymnal.
Are there any other children who wish to come forward? Oh, looks like it's just the two of us today. Yay, more snacks. More snacks for us, right? Do you like grapes? I think I might give you a grape here. Now, I don't want you to eat it yet. I want you to wait till you get back to your seat and ask your mom or your dad or whoever's with you if you can eat it. I want you to hold on to it for just a little bit. Now, do you know where grapes come from? Do they grow on trees? No, they don't grow on trees. Do they grow on a bush? No, they don't grow on a bush either. They grow on a vine. Do you know what a vine is? It's like this long, stringy branch with leaves, and it kind of curls around fences and other posts that they hold them up, and grapes grow from that. Oh, we do have some more kids. Awesome. Awesome. Right. You heard snacks, didn't you? I know. And I'm going to have the entire congregation coming up here in a minute, huh? Well, I'll let you hold on to your grapes as well. And again, wait until you get back to your seat to ask your mom and dad if it's okay to eat it, all right? And we just said that grapes grow on vines. And the places where you can find grapes growing is called a vineyard. And people who plant vineyards hope that you will have yummy grapes grow on those vines. But what do you think would happen if they grew bad grapes, sour grapes, or even rotten grapes? Do you think that the owner of the vineyard would be very happy? No, you can't use bad grapes to make wines, grape juices, and jellies, can you? We hope that they have good grapes. Did you know we are kind of like a vine? God calls us a vine, and we can bring forth fruit. Just like a vine has grapes, we can have fruit. Our fruit can either be good, like when we're nice to each other, when we're patient, when we listen to our moms and dads, or we can have rotten fruit, like when we are mean, when we fight with our brothers and sisters, when we don't listen to our moms and dads, when we tell lies. How do you think we can get good fruit? Do you think we can pray and talk to Jesus and help him to help us have good fruit? Yeah. Well, in a minute, I'm going to send you around with the buckets. I believe today we are collecting for faith in action. But first, let us pray. Lord, thank you for helping us to be your vine and to bring good fruit. Help us to grow sweet and usable for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing with all my heart. The power of your love moves within me. I lift my praise. I want to touch your heart. With all my soul, I want to see your glory. In the presence, there is joy. I give to you my all. Let the word of Holy Son now go in me. In your presence I am strong, and I am safe, secure, no one can fear me.
Thank you, Connie and Diane, for that beautiful praise song. I would now ask that you turn in your red hymnals to our responsive reading, Psalm 80, found on page 801. Please recite your response to my prompt. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. In the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
At this time, we'd like to ask the ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. And it is with great pleasure that I share this song for you in worship today. It is a song I have selected to thank you, the congregation who raised me, for all of your prayers over the years. Thank you for always remembering to say a prayer for me.
There are times in the battle I find myself alone. There are times when I race a race that can't be won. Though I struggle on with strength that's not my own, still there are those days when I need some help, I need someone to say a prayer for me. I doubt when you pray for me. Deep inside, I have felt the weakness of my soul. In my heart, where I hide the me that I still hold, my doubt when you pray for me. Through my darkest hour, through what I have feared, you are always faithful and in friendship persevered to say a prayer.
O Shepherd of Israel, we praise you for your tireless acts of salvation. By your grace, O God, nurture and strengthen your flock wherever they gather. We dedicate our offering and ourselves to your service today. All this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen.
You may be seated. And now we have reached the point of our service where we share up our joys and concerns. First, our joys. Do we have any reason to celebrate today? I will say we have one huge celebration that I forgot to mention at first service. Pastor Bruce is not with us today because he is baptizing a grandbaby this morning. And so that is a huge celebration in their family. And we celebrate with them. Do we have other joys? Yes. Thank you, Chris. And it's always a joy to come back home. I've missed you all, and it's always wonderful to come back to the church that raised me and helped me to find my wings and land where God has landed me. Thank you. Do we have other joys? Always a comment from Dad. Thanks. Do we have any other joys to celebrate today? Yes. Children grow up so quickly. Yes. Celebration for milestones. I know there were some children here first service who last I saw them were little babies, and I was surprised to realize that the older boys who were here were the little babies I had last seen. So, yes, children do grow up. It's amazing. Did I see something over here? Yes, welcome. Campbells have some family visiting from Japan for a few weeks, so we're glad that they are here. Any other joys? A couple of prayer requests to lift up that were sent up on the cards. Richard, I understand his leukemia has returned, so please keep him and family in your prayers as he goes through that. Also, continuing prayers for a son-in-law, Dave. He had open heart surgery on Wednesday. He is on the mend with the Lord's help, but still prayers for continuing recovery and healing in that. I'd also like to remind you to lift up in prayers everybody in Louisiana right now who is struggling with the flooding of the past week. I know there's a huge cleanup effort going on. So please, prayers for that recovery. Do we have any other prayer requests to lift up at this time?
Our military.
Definitely. Our military
men and women and our first responders here at home, the police officers, firefighters, medics, etc., everybody who goes running into danger when the rest of us run away to safety, thank you to all those men and women who so honorably serve. Any other prayer requests? If not, let us go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for leading us and guiding us along the way. For we know that if you lead us, we cannot stray. We come to you this morning with many things in our hearts and minds. We have wonderful celebrations and joys, many of which were lifted up here today. Others we might be too surprised or too humble to share aloud, but we know that we are excitedly celebrating with you, and we thank you for those wonderful things. We also have lifted up to you many names and members of our church family who are ill or recovering from illness. Please lay your healing hands upon those and those who are grieving and the families of those who are needing your extra healing presence. Walk with each of us throughout all of the hardships of life. Thank you for being our guide. We understand, Lord, and know that we come before you as a great and mighty God who is wonderful and loving and forgiving, but whose expectations we fall short of. Lord, we lift up to you all of the sins that we have committed, all of our sins of omission, and all of the sins most especially that we are unaware of. Forgive us, we pray. Be with us, show us where we have gone wrong, so that our vines may continue to bear good fruit and weed out the bad. We ask all of this in your most precious holy name, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Hear these words from Isaiah, telling the parable of the vineyard. "Let me sing for my beloved a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He digged it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, a cry.
Let us pray. Lord, how humbling it is to be called to stand before your people and speak your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everyone loves a good love song. You can guess the percentage of love songs that you might hear on the radio. It might be 50%, 70%, even 90%. I don't know the exact figure, but I assume that it is pretty high. And you might think that these people who sing about love or falling out of love or getting at the back at the person who hurt you because you fell out of love, you'd think that all of these songs would lead you to believe that they understand love. But they really don't seem to. They seem to propagate the notion that we hear about in Hollywood of guy meets girl and they see each other and immediately know that they're the one and they fall in love and maybe there's some bumps in the road, but eventually they end up happily ever after. Now, I myself am still single, but I've heard from many of you who are married, and I'm sure that you can agree, that life is not like a Hollywood movie. I've heard that the marriage relationship is more than just the romantic love, but it's a commitment and it's work. And sometimes it is very, very hard. How come we don't ever hear songs on the radio about that? Can you imagine what a song might be like if it really spoke about true love? For those of you who have seen me grown up, or in the very least, I'd say most of you know my mother, Diane, it's not a surprise to you at all that I love music. In fact, when I was in seminary and taking an Old Testament class, a professor offered a challenge for bonus points in the class. We should take a passage of scripture and put it to music. The scripture in question was today's passage, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And of course, loving music, I took the challenge. The end result is not a song that I yet feel willing to share, but maybe one day I will. It was enough, however, to get me an A in the class, for which I am very thankful. But the project, it turned out to be more difficult than I anticipated, not because of the musical composition side, but because of the actual scriptural text itself. From a textual standpoint, it is a brilliant piece of writing. Isaiah lures us in with what sounds like a typical love song, and then twists it on its head. Let's look at some of these lyrics line by line. My beloved had a vineyard, Isaiah sings. Beloved. Isn't it wonderful that Isaiah calls God his beloved? Can you call God your beloved? Are you in love with God? Obviously, again, I'm not referring to that romantic love that Hollywood promotes, but I'm talking about a devotion to God that goes deeper than Sunday morning. Do you strive to live every moment of your life to please your beloved Lord? That's just some food for thought to consider. Consider what our beloved Lord has done for his vineyard. For his vineyard actually is us. We hear at the end of today's text that the specific vineyard in the scripture is Israel and Judah. And in between, we hear of the predictions of what would later happen in later books of the eventual destruction and exile of God's chosen people. But we'll get back to that in a moment. Let's look and see what God has done for those that he loves. Our beloved Lord has built his vineyard on a fertile hill. Now, being built on a hill is very significant because, first of all, something that's on a hill or high up is easily visible. You can notice from miles around something that's raised. That's why this very pulpit is higher up than even most of the chancel. That's why you'll go to a play and everyone is on the stage, etc. We are meant to be visible to the world as God's chosen people, as God's designated family. It is through that visibleness that we can help bring other people to God. If other people see us living out our lives, devoting ourselves to our beloved Lord, then that is our best evangelism tool. The old proverb says, actions speak louder than words, and this is no different. Also, a hilltop is easily defendable against intrusion. The Lord is preparing us and protecting us for what trials may come. We'll come back to his protection in just a minute. We learn that he dug it and cleared it of stones. Now, many people tend to forget that when we first start off our lives of faith, it is God who makes the first move. When you first accepted Christ, when you first had this awareness of God and his faithfulness, did you just find God on your own? Or were there things in your life that pointed you to his existence and to his love? Indeed, God is clearing away the stones and any barriers that can prevent us from knowing him. Some barriers are more difficult to move than others, which is why others take longer than some to find the truth. He wants to remove everything that will hinder our development. He planted his vineyard with choice vines. This is not some knockoff or some generic off-brand. This is the name brand premium cut. Nothing but the best for his vineyard. And if you think about it, he has given us nothing for the best here on this planet. We are miraculously on the only planet in our solar system that sustains life naturally. Yes, there's been talk of future explorations to Mars, but in order for people to live there, they'd have to create a false man-made environment in order for us to live. And as far as we know, science has yet to prove that there are any other planets out there anywhere that actually contain life. Yet, this planet has the exact mix of elements to allow us to even exist. Nothing but the best for his creation. He built a watchtower in the midst of the vineyard. He did not leave us without protection, but is guarding us against trouble. Now, you may ask, if he is guarding us against trouble, he's built us on the hill, put the watchtower in, why do bad things still happen to us? Bad things happen as a result of judgment, a word that we don't like to talk about that much in the church today, because it is a big, scary word and seems to imply God throwing thunderbolts down at us every time we step out of line. But judgment is surprisingly a lot more mundane than that. But we'll come back to that just in a minute. He built a wine vat in it. Now, this is anticipation of a great harvest. We learn that if this was a literal vineyard, from the time that he first broke ground to the time that the first grapes appeared, the time lapse would have been about 2 years. That is a long time to wait and prepare, but it's exciting, excited anticipation for that great harvest. There was going to be great wine to be shared. Now, you may know that my younger sister Megan was recently married in this church this past April. And from the moment they were engaged until the moment of the wedding, the name of the game was preparation. I mean, if you have ever planned a wedding recently, you know that there's a lot of work that goes into it. First, you have to book a date at the church. Then you have to get the wedding reception hall and hope that it doesn't go over your budget. Then you have to decide on the caterer, the menu, the cake, the dress, the flowers, the rings, the honeymoon, the bachelor party, showers. That list is by no means exhaustive, but I'm exhausted thinking about it. And it's all in preparation for one day that's a preparation for one lifetime. But imagine if things do not work out. 99.9% of the time, when you have an engagement, eventually the happy couple are wed and go off into their journey of married life. But occasionally, and heartbreakingly, sometimes something happens. Maybe the couple has a fight a day or a few days before the wedding and decide to call it off. Or maybe the bride or groom gets cold feet and leaves the other standing at the altar, heartbroken and stranded and alone. No matter what the outcome, you can imagine the intense heartbreak and devastation that goes through not just the couple, but the families and the friends who had so been anticipating this happy wedding day. It's heartbreak and disappointment at the highest level. It is that level of disappointment that our beloved Lord discovered when he went to collect his first harvest. Our scripture says that it yielded wild grapes. That's the NRSV translation. The NIV translation says bad grapes. I've heard other translations say rotten grapes. The actual Hebrew word, and I do not know how to pronounce it correctly, but the Hebrew word there actually means sour, foul, or even foul-smelling. These grapes were completely useless for anything. Can you imagine that disappointment? After waiting 2 years, he ended up with less than nothing.
If we are the vineyard, then what kind of fruit do we bear? Do we bear the foul grapes that we hear of in this text? Or do we bear good fruit? We are warned what will happen in the following verses if we bear the bad fruit. But first, let us look at what some of that fruit might be that we can bear. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul lists out the two different categories, starting in verse 19. The acts of the flesh, and I might add here, the rotten fruit, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the rotten fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What kind of fruit do you bear as you look on your life? If you're like me, you likely display a mixture of both. We'd like to think that we are always patient, always kind, always loving, etc. But I don't know a single person who is all of those things 100% of the time. We get jealous. We get angry over things that we have no right to be angry over. Which might and should make us a little nervous about what happened to that vineyard. We must cling to our beloved Lord so that we do not bear the rotten fruit. I have heard people say that the Old Testament God is full of wrath and jealousy and hatred towards humanity, while the God of the New Testament is full of love and forgiveness. That may be how God is predicted, is shown to us. But it's the same God. Old and New Testament is the same God. The same God who is full of anger is also the same God of love. The difference, of course, is Jesus Christ and grace. Grace is not what we tend to think of it. It is not a license to go and do whatever we want because God will forgive us anyway. It is grace to know that whatever we do, God can redeem us from that. But that doesn't mean that we should just go off and do whatever we so please. There was a time, not really that long ago, relatively speaking, compared to biblical times, that people would come to worship before God in fear and trembling because of his mighty power. We seem to have lost that in the church today, likening God more to more like a cuddly teddy bear who loves us anyway. And I don't want to say that God doesn't, but he is also a God of judgment. However, judgment is not really as scary a word as we might think it is. Judgment, in all fair equity, is simply the consequences of our own sinful actions. For example, if you got arrested for a crime, it's not because God hates you, it's because you committed a crime. That is the just consequence. Or if little things happen that frustrates you, it's not God's fault. But maybe just circumstances of life. Circumstances of our own sinful nature getting in the way. Yes,
judgment is real, but there's also hope. Because we have the grace in Jesus Christ, we have a chance to be pruned of our bad fruit and grow good fruit and become again a healthy vine. That is the true grace. Even though Israel and Judah were eventually destroyed, a remnant remained, and from that remnant came our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him and his disciples, all of us today. And we are inheritors of God's promises. So even through the fire, we can come out strong. And that is something to be joyful about, because we have that grace. Praise God, our beloved, for that grace. Amen. Our last hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory. Will you please stand? Let the fruit that grows within you honor our beloved Lord, and let us bring forth those fruits that he has called us to bear of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And go now in peace, and may the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.